The New South Wales government has flagged bail reforms could be on the table following the alleged murder of childcare worker Molly Ticehurst by a man who was on bail for several serious offences. The Premier Chris Minns has acknowledged today that the community is looking for answers.
To put it simply, there are serious questions for the New South Wales government to answer as to how this alleged offender was out on bail. We have a duty of care to alleged victims, particularly those that are awaiting justice through the criminal justice system.
New South Wales Attorney General Michael Daly says he'll be writing to the state's Crown Advocate to ask whether bail law reform in domestic violence cases is needed. So, what does the current bail system look like and what changes, if any, might be needed? Professor Lorana Bartels is a criminologist at the Australian National University and joins me now. Hi there, Lorana.
Thanks very much for having me on the program.
Firstly, for people who aren't familiar, what is the process to determine whether someone who's been charged with an offence should be given bail or whether they should stay in jail on remand?
So in New South Wales, there are generally two bail tests that apply. The first one is called the unacceptable risk test, and everyone who applies for bail is subject to that. And that means that before granting someone bail, the decision maker has to consider whether, if they were free, they would pose an unacceptable risk that they would fail to appear at court or leave the jurisdiction, that they would endanger the safety of the victim or victims or individuals or the community, that they would interfere with witnesses or evidence, and that there's a risk that they'll commit a serious offence. So in the present case, tragically, it appears that decision failed, right? That the bail decision maker made the decision that it was acceptable to grant this man bail, and that obviously turned out tragically not to be the correct decision. There are then offences called the show cause offences, which is a long list of offences where for specified offences, including murder and some sexual offences involving children and some firearms offences and drug offences, the person seeking bail has to show cause, show justification for why they should not be locked up. Mm. Now, currently in New South Wales, there are not any specific domestic violence offences listed in there. There are a bunch of issues with the show cause provisions, but I was surprised to see no domestic violence offences listed. When I looked at bail legislation in other jurisdictions, they don't have the show cause provisions in the same way, but they do in most other Australian jurisdictions now have special provisions that apply in relation to family violence offences. Mm,
mm. We know that New South Wales Premier Chris Minns wants to see if the state's bail laws need reforming. Does this make sense to you? Is it warranted? And where are those obvious areas of reform?
In some ways it does. As I said, most jurisdictions have now gone down a path of having special rules that apply when it comes to someone who's been charged with a family violence offence applying for bail. But one has to be very careful in how one does that. So, for example, in the ACT where I'm based, the way the Bail Act provision in relation to family violence offences is written makes it very, very, very hard indeed for someone charged with a family violence offence to get bail. And I did a review of the Family Violence Act some years ago on behalf of the government and spoke to victim survivors and organisations that support them and said, look, there are sometimes, you know, victim survivors who they don't want him in jail. If he goes to jail, he's the main income earner, and then that means the mortgage doesn't get paid or the rent doesn't get paid. So then you're actually opening up other problems and risks.
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, legislative reform is very difficult. So, you know, a blanket response that says no one charged with a domestic violence offence should ever get bail is not the answer.
No, sure. It's interesting you speak about the ACT there. We know that in Victoria a similar change happened in 2017 after Dimitri Gagasoulis killed six people while on bail. They've had their bail laws tightened significantly after then. What impact has that had?
That's had a terrible impact because that was reform to bail laws around an awful, awful homicide incident. Six people died. And then in the aftermath of those bail reforms, it's in particular been women Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander women in particular, and family violence victims themselves, who have been caught up in the effects of these bail laws. So not the target for, in relation to whom the reforms were designed, they're the ones who ended up remanded in custody. And Victoria's actually changing their laws again in response to that, following coronial inquest into the death of an Indigenous woman in custody for an offence where she really shouldn't have been in prison in the first place. So it's very difficult to get that balance right when we remember that someone who's been charged with an offence has not been found guilty. Now, the offences this man had been charged with were very serious offences, and they set up a lot of red flags in relation to his behaviour in relation to his ex, the stalking, the harm to an animal, the sexual violence. They really are serious problematic offences, but whether law reform to bail laws are the answer is not, it's not that straightforward.
No, it never is, is it? And obviously the consequences to potentially changing bail laws, having fewer people getting bail, is that they're kept on remand until their case is heard. There are consequences of having more people on remand as well, right?
There are consequences every which way. Certainly people who are making bail decisions in relation to all matters, but especially in relation to family violence matters, have to have an understanding, a nuanced understanding of what family violence looks like, what coercive control looks like. The National Domestic Family Violence Bench Book explains all of this in a lot of detail. So ensuring or encouraging bail decision makers, and there's a section in that bench book around bail and around, around domestic violence. Those sorts of things don't need legislative reform, so that every bail decision maker, when they get a case like this, is able to make that decision, understanding what, unfortunately, we have seen too many of these cases, tragic, awful outcomes. But the legislative reform is potentially part of the puzzle. It's not the only answer.
Lorana Bartels is a professor of criminology at the ANU. Thank you so much for your insight and time.
Thank you very much.